You're listening to the PMO Strategies Podcast, where PMO leaders become impact drivers. This is episode 246. Well, hey there, impact driver. Welcome to the PMO Strategies Podcast. I am your host, Laura Bernard. Now, last week, we talked all about delivering sustainable impact. This week, we're going to be talking about sustainably delivering impact. There is a relentless pressure on all project organizations to deliver more value and impact faster than ever before. This can result in enormous pressure on the team, which in turn actually lowers productivity. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? The importance of practicing and embracing sustainability is becoming increasingly important for shareholders, investors, and employees that, to a higher and higher extent, are looking for ethical and purposeful companies. So in this episode, we're going to talk about the ways to help your project teams continuously perform at a high sustainable level by balancing both doing what delivers financial impact and making sure you're doing it the right way. Before we dive in, this episode is sponsored by... Okay, let's dive in. Here for part two of this two podcast episode series is Mark Madsen and Brian Cohn. Welcome back, guys.
Good to be with you again, Laura.
So Mark Madsen is a consultant in product development with more than 20 years of experience. He has helped companies such as Porsche, Audi, Lego, and Maersk create sustainable growth through efficient leadership and launches of successful products. Now, Brian Cohn has 30 years of experience leading projects and project portfolios to develop industrial and consumer products. He has spent the last 7 years helping organizations develop high-performing teams, working at a sustainable pace while improving product development performance. And that's what we're here to talk about today. How can we drive that ever higher performance without burning out our people in the process? So are you guys ready to dive in?
Ready, willing, and able.
All right, let's do this. So in the Impact Driver framework, we have six steps. The first one is instill focus. The second is measure outcomes. The third one is perform relentlessly. So relentless performance is one of my favorite topics. However, there's also this relentless pressure that I hinted at in the beginning of the episode that I'd like to talk about. So teams are being pressured to deliver impact early and often, which is where a lot of the agile frameworks and being nimble, flexible, adaptive, agile, and iterating comes from. But this can also lead to tremendous stress on teams. So I'm really curious if we can start with just getting right at the heart of the problem and what PMO and strategy delivery people can do to help the organizations consistently work this way without burning out.
Well, thank you, Laura. It really all begins with the way we provide leadership, because people respond to the way we lead. I've been in companies where it has seemed the process has been the beatings will continue until morale improves.
Right.
We could turn that upside down. You know, we've seen the things, and I guess it was really popular maybe 10 years ago, this idea of the servant leader, and that we need to have that kind of mentality as leaders. We're here to help our organizations. And we need to find ways to engage the teams in their goals and in their objectives, because that engagement, that giving them of a purpose really drives them to be motivated to do what they need to do
right.
To deliver.
Indeed, yes. And I think we've all been part of these works here where you keep up the pressure because there's a deadline you need to reach. You keep building up the pressure. You keep working harder and harder and harder. You might achieve the deadline. But I think afterwards, when we look back, how effective were we really just because we were working harder in that period there? Maybe it would have been making sense. Maybe we would even have reached a better goal, or we would even have reached the goal faster if we'd taken a little bit of time out to sharpen the saw, also to use an old wording here, right? And making sure that we kept our mind in the game along the way also, right?
Yeah, and one of the things that we feel is important and is very underdone, we in the agile world, we talk about retrospectives to find ways
right.
to get better. But I think we also need a systematic way to look at the health of the project, of the team. Not only that, we do need to keep track of the health of the project, but we really want to keep track of the health of the team. We want to find some early indicators. And there are a number of kind of polling mechanisms that are out there. We've seen that the organization I've seen come from best is something called the Half Double Institute, just trying to, whose whole goal is to deliver twice the impact and half the effort. But they have a great survey that you can give your team every month or so to detect when they're feeling more stress. And the first challenge to dealing with it is detecting it.
For sure. And that requires the PMO and strategy delivery people to be kind of stepping up and out of just the project, the deliverables and the outputs and all the steps and the process and the templates, tools, process, stuff, blah, and actually come up a level and look at the people and the system that everybody is operating in, right? We call it, we have the Impact Engine system, and that system is all about the people and the process and the ways that work get done, but doing it in a way that, you know, frankly, is sustainable, right? So I'm totally in on this. And I think that there's a big challenge here with people in this space, the delivery people just really focusing so much on the outputs they're creating and checking boxes and being administrative, as opposed to looking at the holistic system everyone's working in and realizing that we've got to make sure that the people who are the real, you know, mechanism for change happening in the organization are not being burned out or working hard, but not working smart, right? Like, I think there's so much iterating going on that probably shouldn't even be done in the first place. And that kind of constant change can be exhausting. And if it's not purposeful, meaningful, and driven by real outcomes, it can be just a drain on people. Like, it makes it hard to do the hard work.
Yep. And I think you make a great point there about needing to raise our flying height, if you will, in the way we work with our teams, that it's really easy to put all of our energy into tools and process and make sure we want to deliver the same thing every time and be great. And that's a good idea, but we also need to remember that our goal in projects is to do something different. And so we need guidelines, not prescriptions. We also need to go back and remember what's the first element of the Agile Manifesto, which has helped so much. And it is people and their interactions over tools and process. It's not that we don't need tools and process, but we really need to keep that focus on the people and the way they're interacting with each other to deliver that value.
Oh, this is so good. This is exactly what I think a lot of our impact drivers need to hear. So I know, though, with them, the next question is going to be, okay, so, but how, right? So what techniques have you seen that really allow teams to perform at a high level for extended periods of time without burning them out, right? Like, we go into organizations all the time and help them address this because there's so much heavy process and over governance and everything's being done by, decision by consensus and everything's committees and just big blah. Like, we don't want any of that, right? So how do you build a lean operating model that can go at this accelerated pace without people feeling like they're burnt out? Like, what do you do?
It's all about motivation. And when we talk about motivation, first thing is, as they go, how can I motivate you? Which is really the wrong question for knowledge workers. There's a great book, it's about 15 years old, called Drive by a gentleman named Daniel Pink. And he
really
talks about what it takes to help people be motivated. And it's really a shift from this idea, I can motivate you, to how do I help you motivate yourself? How do we find things in a system? How do we give people? And he talks about autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And I'll really start at the back end first. The purpose is, let's make sure people know what we're doing. Going back to the ideas from our last podcast, how do we do things that are sustainable, things that give people a reason to want to do them? Find ways in our projects to give them an ability to build their mastery. Can they do something they haven't done before? Can we help them grow? And then the last area is around autonomy, is we have good people. We need to trust them. And we need to deal with the things, the non-ideal things that happen as learning opportunities. How can we do it better as opposed to punishment? But most importantly, we want to be able to delegate to them to the extent that makes sense for them so that they can get the work done in the way that they know is best. And as we often say in Agile, try to also push the decisions down to the lowest possible level. Let people make those decisions. Don't rob them of the decision-making ability.
Oh, so good. Yes. This is something that we find ourselves recommending in some of the organizations that we work with when we're doing our consulting work, is a combination of this leadership as a service, as well as where is the right level of decision-making in an organization. It doesn't all need to sit with the C-suite, right? And where are the opportunities to push the decisions down to the level of the people that actually have the information needed to make those decisions, right? I mean, a lot of our executives ends up with decision fatigue, right? Either they have so much coming at them, and that's what we hear from C-suite executives and CEOs in particular all the time. One, you want me to make decisions, but I don't actually have the information I need to do so. Or two, you're shoving so much information at me that I still don't have the information I need to do so because you're giving me so much information, right? And then our question usually is, why does the C-suite have to be the only ones making those decisions? Why can't we push the decisions to the right level and have an environment where people are intrinsically motivated because they see that they actually have a stake in the outcome, that they actually have a voice in helping to drive real decisions and not have it all sit at the top level? Does that make sense?
Definitely, definitely. And just also to put a word on the other side of that, because usually in those organizations, when you go out and talk to the people that are doing the work, they know that they are doing stupid work, but they're doing it because the processes tell them that they should do it. And if they don't follow the process or they don't hit the quality gates, then they are getting beaten up, of right. course, in the form of being reprimanded or having their bonuses removed or whatever it could be, right?
Right?
So people end up doing the wrong things. They know it's the wrong thing, but they do it because they are extrinsically demotivated by processes
right.
and all of the constellation, the bureaucracy we have set up, right? And I think
right.
that exactly leads back to what Brian is telling. It's rather about turning it around, maybe unlocking some of all of the processes we've been set up, trusting our people more, empowering people more, making sure that when they are working towards the right purpose, then they will find the right way. If they know the goal, if they're motivated to get to the goal, they will find the right way. We do not necessarily need to tell them to first take one step forward, then two steps to the side. They will figure it out. So I think it's about turning the way we look at quality systems, the way of working, rethinking that for a future with knowledge work rather than what we've been doing so far, right?
Yeah, a lot of our clients will talk about being more intrapreneurial, right? So there's entrepreneurial and then intrapreneurial. And that can create a lot of intrinsic motivation if they have this kind of mindset that they are what we call impact drivers, right? Like that they have a role to play to be more than just a task doer and a box checker, right? Like I think there is a certain amount of process that people need. They need the guardrails. They need the guidelines, like you said, Brian, but they don't have to be so prescriptive, right? To use your words, prescriptive, that they have no space to think critically and solve business problems real time, right? A lot of times we take really smart people in organizations and take away their ability to use all that intelligence we hired them for, right? Just follow the process, do all the gates, do all the checks, just check, right? And then PMO people become the box checkers or the auditors, right? The Gestapo, as my dear friend Lee years and years ago, they become the Gestapo instead of a PMO, where they're just like, all they're doing is running around and like getting people in trouble for not doing all the process, as opposed to allowing people the space to think critically and figure out what are the right things to do here, right? So we dumb everything down and then people do lose motivation and get frustrated and they don't want to be a part of it anymore because they feel like there's, you know, what's the point, right? If it's just go to work and check some boxes and be told what to do all day and do stuff you know is stupid and you shouldn't be doing and then go home, right? Like that's depressing, frankly, but that's how a lot of organizations operate. So if there's an opportunity for project people and PMO people to make a shift there, the organization as a whole is going to start operating better if we put a little bit of, like you're saying, the servant leadership into practice.
Yeah, I think that that's a great topic. And it really does. I think it starts where we need to demonstrate how we want people to lead in the organization. That, you know, when we see a problem, you know, we're project people. We want to get stuff done. So we look at things.
Right.
And these, as a PMO leader, maybe the solution or the next step is obvious to us. And
Right.
Maybe it's not to the person that we're trying to coach and help, but maybe it's not the best thing for us to do in the long run to tell them that. And think about how do we guide them to that solution by being coaches and facilitators rather than tellers? We need to demonstrate that to the organization and see how that works so that they can see how that helps people be more productive. It helps build them, because our job as a PMO leader is not only to deliver projects, but to develop the organization and develop our people.
Yeah, and I think that there's a basic mindset also in shifting away again from the iron triangle, right? I mean, it's not only about delivering the scope on time and at cost here. I mean, if we shift that mindset to thinking about the benefits and the values instead, that'll encourage us to keep rethinking what are the benefits, what are the values of what we're doing. Are we still tracking the benefits there instead of just focusing so narrowly on what might become the wrong path? And we might do a lot of busy work to try and get to a goal that is no longer relevant. If we keep asking about the benefits, about the values, if we involve the people, if we involve the teams in that, we create the motivation, we create the servant leadership, we keep having these discussions about who can contribute to moving us in the right direction to achieve the outcome of what we want to get right.
For sure.
Okay, so I'm putting myself in the shoes of the impact drivers listening, and they're like, okay, yeah, I hear you in theory, but what do I actually go do to apply all of this in my organization? Where do I get started? What are some steps that I can take? How do we answer that for our impact drivers listening today?
Yeah, I think it begins by doing some learning about what's worked at other organizations. And one of the easiest ways to do that is one might hire a consultant and say, how can we get better? But I also want to encourage everybody to be careful about that, because by just, if a consultant comes in and says, here's how to do it, you're back into that prescription kind of mindset. You want to make sure that you're working with somebody who's going to help you discover what's been effective in other places and help lead you down a path towards discovering what you do. As we want to follow one of those sort of secondary principles of Agile, of being empirical and adaptive to get better.
All right.
I think that's very right, Brian. And another thing I think is also very worth looking at here is to build up an empirical way of going about your thing. So instead of just taking a new process that won't fit into your company, then set yourself up for learning and constantly improving your way of working, looking at how you're doing your retrospectives on your work, doing them frequently, and then constantly adjusting with your team, making sure that everybody is involved and everybody gets their say in what do we need to adjust, where are the opportunities for us to improve, right? And also making sure when we bring in the experts that we get their input to how we can improve, and not just taking in another way of working that might have worked for somebody else, but I'm most likely sure not to work for us, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think a lot of this really is choice, right? All of you impact drivers listening, you can choose to take this, what you're hearing today, and figure out the best way that you're going to apply it in your organization, or you can wait for things to happen around you. And I think there's so much opportunity here for all of our impact drivers listening to step up and own this conversation and find ways to drive that greater impact that our business leaders are looking for, but doing it in a way that's really going to support the people that need to do that work, right? The coaching, everything you all are saying about the coaching, and I love the facilitating versus telling, because I always say to PMO people, you don't need to say no to things because it's not really your decision to make. It's not your PMO. It belongs to the business leaders and the stakeholders. But what you should be saying is, yes, and here's what it's going to take. And part of that, and here's what it's going to take, is how do we do this in a way that's not going to burn our people out, that's not going to drive people crazy, and then leads everyone on that right path forward. And I think it's really important that that coaching and the facilitating is not just down, right? It's not just with the people that are in the projects or that report to you. We also kind of have to do a little coaching with our leaders as well. You know, a lot of this role is about managing up and encouraging our leaders to understand where the empowerment and giving people autonomy and the motivation from the inside out is really going to help facilitate that, those outcomes that they're looking for, right? Getting the work done faster and getting to the bigger impact and accelerating performance. Accelerated performance doesn't mean burn your people out with 110% utilization across projects. It means having smart people doing the right work the right way at a balanced load, so they have some room to think and breathe and not be order takers, but be impact drivers instead. This is so good. Thank you so much, you guys, for sharing all of this with me. I think that this is going to be super helpful for everybody listening to start thinking a little bit differently about the right way to get to that better performance, or as you guys call it, sustainably delivering impact.
Perfect. Thank you very much, Laura. It's something that is very close to our hearts as well. And as you say here, we have also seen that actually going this direction here is not something that lowers performance, quite the opposite. It helps delivering better quality, doing the right things, and doing the right things usually also means that we get to our goal faster.
So good. All right. Well, Mark and Brian, if people want to connect with you, where can they find you? And yeah, how can they learn more about what you all do?
You can find us both and our company on LinkedIn. Do look for Brian Cohn in Minnesota or Mark Madsen in Denmark and Germany, or just Aspire Innovation. And of course, you can find us on our website at aspire-innovation.com.
Oh, thank you guys so much for being here. All right, Impact Drivers, I hope that we have given you some goodness to think about and inspired you to drive more impact in your organization in a more sustainable way, with people and through people instead of to people. So if you love this episode, make sure you download and hit subscribe, and make sure that you've got these podcasts with you no matter where your high impact journey takes you next. Bye-bye for now.